Hello and welcome to Outdoors in Scotland. My name's John Burns and this is my podcast for folk who like the outdoors in Scotland and basically pretty well anywhere really. My guest today, I think I wanted to bring along because he's been doing some work on writing about nature. He's a musician and a poet, and I think he's been writing about some of the things that I have in common with him. I think we're both kind of inspired to write maybe by the wilderness and our encounters with wild things. But I better let him tell you about that, eh? My guest is Bobby Motherwell, and he's was until fairly recently poet in residence at RSPB Lochwinnoch, where he's written and performed about nature, ornithology and life in general, I think. Hello, Bobby, how are you?
I'm great. I'm absolutely great, John. Lovely to be in this podcast with you. Thanks for asking me.
Oh, you're very welcome. You're very welcome. Now, I didn't know that the RSPB had poets in residence. How did that come about for you?
Well, they didn't know that they had poets in residence either, John. How it came about was I live in Howwood, and right next to me is the village called the Village of Lochwinnoch, and the RSPB Reserve in Lochwinnoch is somewhere that I've visited ever since I moved to Howwood. I'm from Glasgow originally, and I moved to Howwood because I like the countryside, the outdoors, and it seemed like the right place to move. And the RSPB Lochwinnoch was a place that I regularly went to. And somewhere that I frequented twice, three times a week, it seemed to me that when I got to a point that I was writing about the place quite regularly, just kind of during lockdown, more than anything else, I realised it was somewhere that I would like to spend more time. And a friend of mine who is a poet as well had suggested that residency at a place is a good way of immersing yourself a bit deeper in it. And that's what I did. I basically just dropped an email off to them, and it landed in the right desk at the right time. A chap called Peter McMaster got my email. He thought it was a great idea to have a poet in residence. And we got together and it became a thing. So that allowed me then to spend an awful lot more time writing about the place that I already knew about. But it was a great experience.
And what to you is special about Lochwinnoch? What drew you to the place so much?
The whole thing grew arms and legs as well. Do you know what I mean? I love the place itself. I mean, I'm a bit of a twitcher anyway. I always have been since I was a wee boy. You know, I've always been a bit of a twitcher, so I kind of like birds. I'm nowhere near the knowledge that the people that I met there and people who really are immerse themselves in bird watching. I like to take photographs of birds. I like to go and watch birds. But it's also a brilliant place. I found it a very kind of meditative place as well, John. I'm an outdoor person like yourself. I love climbing. I'm a climber and a hill walker. And it's my place to go that's only a 5-minute drive from the house that gets the same kind of solitude you get into the hill, you know, that kind of thing. And that was it was always a quick fix for me. It was somewhere that I could go, you know, take me 5 minutes to drive down to Lochwinnoch, and I could go there and feel relatively in a kind of wilderness. That was the appeal to me.
I should have talked to you about this before, but I'm going to spring this on you. Is there any chance you could recite one of your poems or read one of your poems for us?
Sure. I brought out a book recently called Lochwinnoch, Birds, Words and Wetlands. And what I can do is I can maybe read you a couple of poems.
That'd be fantastic.
So if I read, first of all, this one's called How Do I Place You? And it's about the place. It's about Lochwinnoch, because you meet different people down there, and people go there for different reasons. So this is called How Do I Place You? We all use this place for different things, from the scurrying shrew to the tumbling lapwing, and grateful for all the good that it brings, this place where spirit sits. We all see this place through different eyes, upon wetlands, scrapes and expansive skies, and we warm as we watch the migrants arrive at this place where conservation sits. We all fix this place with different thoughts. We come to unwind and untangle the knots, a natural return to the life we forgot at this place where fortitude sits. We all in this place are one and the same. As pilgrims we come, a wonder to tame, wild adventurers in all but in name, in this place where metal sits. And this place uses us for different things, dropping instants of insight from delicate wings that we might in return of its wonders sing, of this place that others might sit.
That's great. I think it's interesting that you picked up on a couple of things that fascinate me in that. I think it's sometimes the, how can I put it, the minutiae of places that fascinates as well. As you said, you talked about the shrews and things like that. It's almost like there's layers of world there, if that makes sense. And I think also one of the things that draws me to the outdoors is the sense of being part of of something old that is continuous. Does that make any sense to you?
It makes absolute sense to me, John. It's there's a connection with nature there, absolutely, when you go to these places. But there's also a connection with something else, and it's a kind of immersing yourself in something that is historical. So when you go to the hills, I mean, I like to go myself a lot of times, and it is that kind of connection with something that's been there for, thousands, thousands, and thousands of years, millions of years. And the solitude that I get from the places is something that allows me to write an awful lot better as well, I feel, John. I don't know about you, but I always feel that when I'm on my own, more ideas come to me better when I'm there, and I can concentrate on, like you say, on a lot of the minutiae of the surroundings that you're in.
Yeah, I think there is maybe a connection between writing and walking. Dickens was a great walker, I believe. He used to walk about 12 miles a day, every day. And I think possibly a lot of his novels were born as he was strolling around the countryside, you know? Did you say you another poem to readers? Is that fair?
I've got a whole load of them, but let's do one that's a wee bit more. It gives a kind of an idea of why we go to these places,
Sure.
whether it's the hills or whether it's the RSPB, and a
Yes.
combination of nature and the metaphor for some of the things that it brings. And this is called The Deceit. A deceit is a collective noun, a collective term for lapwings.
Ah, didn't know that. Okay,
Yeah.
okay.
And it fits in very well with the metaphor that's in the poem. I feel it does anyway. So it's
Okay.
called the Deceit. They rise from the scrapes like wind-blown leaves, a deceit of 60-plus lapwings. From white to black, they flicker in flight, pages of flip-art motion. Escapees against a smothering sky, they mesmerize. Daring me to distraction, to gossander and widgeon and great crested grebe bobbing nearby, spiralling low, rifling down, they settle a moment before the interval concludes, and once more they display. Here to contemplate loss, I am aware only of gain. Their silent display swamps my melancholy, and the wind picks up, and the trees chatter like grasshoppers.
That's great, yeah. And I got from that is being in nature something that you find a consolation, a sort of a comfort to you in times when maybe things are not so great?
I think it is with everyone, John. It is. I mean, that one particular poem, obviously, the end of it, here to contemplate loss. The reason I was there, I'd lost one of my friends, and suddenly you're just amazed at what you gain from it,
Yes.
and I suppose it's also that kind of immersing yourself into understanding that impermanence is with us constantly. Things are constantly changing, and sometimes you just have to accept that. And nature's a great way, I find. And the hills and the wilderness is a great way of assuring us and reassuring us that things change.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, when you're in the wild, it makes you think that some things are permanent in a way, that the landscape. Although landscapes change, there is that connection there. And our lives are fairly transitory in so many ways. And you kind of, I certainly kind of feel that in times that have been difficult in my life, I've gone into the hills and you think, well, this place is still here. I can still see this light. I can still hear the bird song. Is that what it relates to you?
I think it's also a familiarity as well, John. It's also finding something that's immersing yourself in something that's familiar too. And my wife knows me too well, and she knows that whenever we have difficult times, or whenever I'm feeling a wee bit not right, then I have to go to the hills, and she'll just know that okay, you're up early in the morning, you're gonna wait to Glencore or whatever, because you have to go there. So I, you know, it's there are lots of things I think it brings to me, and you can put your finger in some of them, but it brings something else. I think it's something else that's just there's a necessity there. I think there's just something that. A necessity to be somewhere where maybe you engage a bit more in yourself.
I think that, yeah, there's some truth in that. I think that we, in certainly the last it over since the Industrial Revolution, we've many people, most of us really, have become disconnected from the landscape, and that's, we're not really supposed to be in concrete streets or on tarmac. That's not what we're designed for. Does that make sense to you?
Makes absolute sense to me. I spent 3 weeks in Sydney overseeing my son just after Christmas, and I spent 3 weeks in Sydney. And honestly, John, I was by the time I get home, I said to my, I just need to get away. I need to get away. And we booked a week in Egg, and we were over to Egg and spent some time in Egg because I just had to get away from the from tarmac. Much as Sydney's a beautiful city, I mean it really is. And there's so much to do, but I think like you say, I can't do that for any great period of time. I need to just go and immerse myself in the outdoors.
Yes, that's right. And music is obviously an important part of your life as well. Tell me a little bit about that and the projects that you're working on.
Well, obviously, I mean the poetry aspect, I think, came from songwriting, John. I've
Nice.
been in I've been in bands and
Okay.
played in bands for quite a number of years. Only recently has my kind of solo project kind of taken off, and I perform under the name of Sulady, and I've released two albums under the name Sulady. I'm working on a third album just now, and I've been very fortunate to have some of Scotland's finest musicians write and play with me on these albums as well, and I'm very proud of them and get some fairly decent success through that. And it's something I've always done. And the poetry came from the songwriting, pretty much. I'm someone who likes a lyric, John, and even when it comes to songwriting, I always focus in on the lyrics first of all. The lyrics have to say something to me before anything else. And what I'd had was I'd written a whole load of songs I was beginning to record, and there was a whole load of lyrics that I'd written which weren't songs. And I thought to myself, well, what are they? And they became poems, and that was how the two of them kind of dovetailed together. So when I perform as a musician, a Sulady, I perform a mixture of spoken word and songs. I mix both of them, and I'll either perform solo on my own, or I'll perform with other musicians that come and join me. So it's yeah, but music's always been I mean, since I was a kid, I've always been into music. You know, I learned to play the guitar when I was about 10 or 11, and I don't think I get any better than that in all the years, but it's something I'm so glad I did when I was younger.
Well, having said that, I think we ought to hear some of your music right now if we can.
Well, I think maybe an appropriate song to play is a song off the last album, An Invincible Summer. It's a song called The Wind and White Horses, and it's about when I go to Egg. I stay in a St. Franny's Both in Egg, and I spend my time looking out across to Castle Island, and I watch the white horses smashing off the rocks when the weather's a bit rough. And this song is about my experiences on the Isle of Egg.
Well, I'm off to hear the white horses again, where the hazel tree bends to the west wind, and then peace finds a way to fill up your day, and I'll take you there one day, my friend. No sooner set foot than the boat's on the moon. She asks of me nothing, I've nothing to prove. Undo the knots and banish the thoughts of the wind and white horses removed. Well, the wind and white horses, they crash and they blow, and the silence they bring is a truth that we know. And we turn and we hide what's locked deep inside, and we put on a face and a show. Here in my heart, I know it's true. From the place where we start, I found you. Place I reside, knowing inside the truth. And I'll walk the wild garlic and bluebell way, from Kildonan into Cleedale and down to Lag Bay. It all becomes clear, and I'm stripped of the fear that the wind and white horses are. For the wind is just time, the rolling of years. White horses, the waves from oceans of tears. No sweeter sound will ever be found than calling the pilgrim here. Wind and white horses in unison sing. The contentment alone is a bountiful thing. And if ever you must surrender and trust what the wind and white horses bring, here in my heart, I know it's true. From the place where we start, I found you. To the place I reside, the truth.
So you've obviously produced quite a lot of work. Your poetry and your music. I'm getting the sense that you're perhaps addicted to creativity and producing stuff. Is there anything that you're working on right now?
Well, there's two particular projects that I'm working on just now, apart from the poetry and the songs, which it just come along anyway. But there's two kind of longer term projects. There's a project I'm writing a story about the poet and ornithologist Alexander Wilson, Scottish poet and ornithologist, who I found out about during my tenure as a poet in residence at Lochwinnoch, because I knew a wee bit about the man, but I didn't know his full story. And then when I heard this whole story, I thought, I have to write with this. So I went over to Philadelphia to research. He left Scotland and went over to Philadelphia.
Right.
He actually published some poetry which were deemed as seditious at the time, John, in Scotland.
Right.
He was a contemporary of Burns and Tannehill.
Okay.
So it was around about 1780s, 1790s. And he was put in prison three times in Paisley Jail because of these seditious poems that were anti-establishment.
For his poetry.
He was released on the basis that he burned his poetry publicly in Paisley Cross.
I was a poet myself at one time, and I think probably that's what they would have charged me with, you know. I probably should have served considerable periods in prison for that.
well, do you know, I want to read them, John. I want to read those poems.
Wait, but,
But he ended up going across to he realised he couldn't live in Scotland any longer, so he went over to Philadelphia, lived in Philadelphia, where he became known as the father of American ornithology. So that's a very brief
Right.
story about
It
Alexander
is.
Wilson, and I'm writing up something about him. But I'm also I've also finished. I've written about 20,000 words on my ascent of the Matterhorn last year. I climbed the
Right.
Matterhorn last year.
Right.
And I felt at 63, I was when I climbed the Matterhorn. It was something I'd wanted to do all my climbing life and never get
Yeah,
round to
yeah.
it. And realized there was a window closing that I really had to
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
had to
yeah.
make the most of. And I did it. I went last year and climbed the Matterhorn. So I'm writing something about that as
Oh,
well.
right. I mean, it's an incredibly iconic looking peak, isn't it?
An amazing experience as well to go over there and do that. I'd never climbed in the Alps before, and it was
Oh,
amazing
right.
to go.
Was that the, is it called the Mittalegre Ridge? Is that it? No?
No, the no, the, it's the hot that it was the Hornley Ridge
The
that we climbed
Hornley
in.
Ridge, that's right. I'm
Hornley,
confusing it.
yeah.
I'm confusing it.
The Mittalegre Ridge is my next project, and
Alrighty. Right.
that takes you onto the summit of the Eiger. But
That's right. That's right.
I may well be too old for that by the time that comes around, John. But we'll need to see.
Yeah, that was one of my ambitions once, but I never made it.
No.
Just as well, you know. Well, that sounds fascinating, and I'll sort of, if I can put a link to your website and to all your work on the page for this podcast, that would be great. You know, it would be great if you want, if you know, when you get these things closer to fruition or when they're about to come out, do get in touch, and I'm sure listeners on my podcast will be very keen to hear what you've done and where things are going with you.
We'd love to do that, John. That'd be great.
Yeah, it'd be fantastic. So I'm going to ask you for another song because I can't sing, so I have to get musicians on, you see. Let's have a song that plays us out, and maybe you can introduce it and tell me about it.
This is a song that's off the first album, Kitchen Sink Dharma, and it's a song about waking up and looking forward to a brand new day. This is Brand New Day.
Is the dawning of a brand new day, and it's just like all the rest. Sings of peace and love and beauty, and it's the time I love the best. It brings a clarity to my closed mind and a force to make me see that I was lost and I was blind. That was the man I used to be. From the purifying, soothing mountain spring, let me breathe in this bright beginning. Every note, every song, but ever song. For the glory of this new day just begun. Should I dwell on long gone sorrows and every right and every wrong? With my sword of my tomorrows, cut me the ties that they belong. Seeing everything as wonder and every detail find its truth. No more to cuss and blunder the boy's heart, eternal youth. From the purifying, soothing mountain spring, let me breathe in this bright beginning. Every note, every song, but ever song. For the glory of this new day just begun. Purifying, soothing mountain spring, let me breathe in this bright beginning. Every note, every song, but ever song. For the glory of this new day, for the glory of this new day, for the glory of this new day just begun.
Okay, that's a big thank you to Bobby Motherwell there. I really hope you've enjoyed his music as much as I have, and a really fascinating little talk. Thanks very much, Bobby.
Thanks for having me, John. Really lovely to speak to you.